Hey folks, and welcome to another episode of Podcraft. This is the podcast about everything podcasting, from equipment to monetization, everything in between. I'm Colin Gray. I'm joined by Matthew McLean. How are you doing, Matthew?
Buenos dias.
That's better.
Multilingual.
Back to the international. You've got to do the accent with it. We talked about the accent a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Spanish. How's your Spanish accent?
I don't want to swear.
Poco bueno.
Yeah. Lo siento, pero mi español es mal.
I'm sorry, Matt. Yeah, I thought you were talking about dog. Was it perro? Because perro is butt, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's also very similar to dog. I thought you were talking about losing your dog for some reason there.
Yeah, lost my dog.
We have just alienated a good proportion of Spanish-speaking podcasters. But anyway, sorry. Let's talk about the question this week. We are doing a listener question this week again. So we've done listener questions the last few weeks, this time from Justin. If you haven't heard the last few weeks ones, I've been quite enjoying doing these. We've done, what was it, last week was how to get audio onto YouTube, talking about different methods for that, from manually doing it through to audiograms and the tools for that. And then the week before was a week before again?
How to get yourself on podcasts as a guest.
How to get more interviews.
Yeah.
So that's someone we're asked a lot, actually. So yeah, remember, go back. That's episode 807. So podcraft.net/807 if you want to go back and have a look at that one as well. But yeah, this time around, we're on to something a bit more technical, down to our kind of pet subject, which is playing around with kit, isn't it? And Justin's asking us about microphones and mixers. Now, just before we dive into it, as always, you can get the show notes if you want to look up the resources, any of the links we mention, maybe the kit as well. We'll probably include that stuff on there. You can find that at, as always, podcraft.net/809. This is episode 9 of series 8. So that's 809, podcraft.net/809. So here's Justin's question. I'm looking at starting a video podcast with two other hosts. My biggest question is, how do we use three microphones without having to get a fancy mixer that has more bells and whistles than we would ever learn to use? We plan on using a MacBook and a webcam. Just need info on how to start out on an average budget. I know audio is important, but I want everything to be professional. From Justin. Okay, cool. It's a good question, isn't it? We get this quite often because recording with two mics is pretty well established, isn't it? There's loads of tools out there, loads of ways to do that. But as soon as you go beyond two, suddenly it's a bit tricky. So, what's your first thoughts on it?
Well, I'm assuming that Justin, and his two co-hosts are recording in the same space, aren't they?
I'm getting that's what he's asking here, yeah. Because if he's talking about a mixer at all, he's probably thinking about plugging three mics in, yeah.
I'll come clean here, full disclosure. I overlooked the fact that he said video when I noted this down, made all my notes. I just did not see video podcast in there.
I think he's just talking about me doing that as an extra. So I would say, let's talk about how to plug in how to use three mics in a really simple way for just audio. And we can, maybe he's adding a webcam as a sort of extra recording method like we do here.
Sync up the audio, do the big three claps.
Indeed, yes.
Sort it all out in post-production. But at its most basic level, if you want to get two or three people together, three or four people together, the simplest thing you do is just to get a USB mic that has an omnidirectional polar pattern, which means it records audio all the way around it.
Yeah.
So you could gather a group of people around a table, literally a round table discussion, and have a microphone. The Yeti does this, I believe.
It's got a recording pattern set for that, hasn't it?
Yeah. So, omnidirectional setting. There's obviously a few cons with this. What the big pro is its simplicity.
Yeah.
One USB Super mic easy. Plugged in, nice and easy.
Yeah.
The cons are you've got a complete lack of control over everyone. You know, the volume everyone speaks and the distance they are from the mic. You could be getting a bit of variety there, which means that when you come to producing it, you're going to have to do a lot of compression, a lot of leveling, and it might not sound, it probably won't sound very good, you know, if people have been...
You're all a bit too far away from the mic, aren't you? So it's going to pick up a lot of room noise. It's going to be a lot of reverb, all that kind of stuff. It's not great. The Zoom H2 is actually quite good for that as well, just thinking of tools for that type of approach. It's got a good pickup pattern there too. But go on.
Sorry, I'm just scrolling down in my notes. So yeah, you could go down that route of just using one USB mic on an omnidirectional pattern. But I get the impression he's looking at wanting to mic people up individually. Again,
he's talking about professional audio, isn't it? So I think we're excused for talking about good quality, quite expensive setups here. He's given us the go ahead.
The go ahead, open the gate. So you can actually use two or three USB mics into your computer at the same time by downloading, you get these downloadable sound cards, if you like. Mm-hmm. One of them's called ASIO for All, which mm-hmm. I've used in the past.
Yeah.
Another one called Voice Meter. That's Meter with two E's. Put links to those in the show notes. Meter. And I've got an article on these as well, and I'll link to that. But that's like a digital sound card that enables you to set up like multiple USB microphones.
Yeah.
Again, the results will vary based on what DAW, what recording and editing software you're using. If you're using something like Adobe Audition, you can end up doing the multi-tracking with USB mics. Mm-hmm. If you're just using Audacity, it's probably going to all end up on the one track. So again, I never like to say it depends, but often it depends.
These are
options if you want to stick with USB.
Yeah. And we were having a quick little debate before we started recording here about how many people care about the multi-track control, don't we?
Yeah. I think a lot of people think they care about it, but, you know.
And then when it comes to the time involved in actually doing it.
I'm a big fan of multi-track recording, but... Yeah. I am an audio snob, I suppose.
Yeah, totally. So just to be clear, maybe there's some people out there, you might be listening, don't have a clue what we're talking about. What we mean is if you have three people speaking into separate microphones. So right now, Matthew and I are speaking into separate microphones. We've got a microphone each. In software, you could record Matthew's microphone onto one track, my microphone onto a separate track. And it means that you can set my levels differently from your levels. If you're in a different place and a dog barks in the background, you can actually just mute your track entirely, but mine is still playing. Mm-hmm. And that's opposed to both of us being recorded onto the same track, in which case you have no control over us separately. We're all just in one place. You have to do all of the processing, all the editing just on that one track. You mute me at the same time, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah,
it's a control thing, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. And you're absolutely, I think you're right. It gives you so many more options, like that dog barking situation. Somebody starts spluttering and coughing and stuff if they flies into their mouth or something. But when it comes down to it, more often than not, that takes a lot of time, doesn't it? Doing separate processing on every single track. So you have to be dedicated.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, you move away from simplicity into more complex, time-consuming processes, which are worth it if you're willing to put the time in, admittedly.
Yeah.
Yes. What were you going to say?
I was just going to say, but I don't know, I was talking about sustainability. I would always say to somebody, it's worthwhile dropping your quality a little bit if it makes it easier to get your podcast out every single week,
mm-hmm.
because that little drop in, as long as you're above a certain level, you're above a minimum level of quality so that it's not annoying, you're clear to be heard. As long as you're above that level, you're better making it easier, quicker, more sustainable to get out every single week than being a bit better quality, I think.
Yeah.
I know not everybody agrees with that, but...
When the first couple of years of the audio drama production podcast, when I used to present that, and it was, I mean, it literally is an audio production podcast. So you felt like you had to hit certain standards. Yeah. Honestly, like sometimes we'd sit in the car with a Zoom H2 on one of those screwing handles, just pass it back and forward. Other times, sat there with, and I wouldn't advocate this, but like the internal mic on a Mac, just recording straight into Audacity. So, really low, not bottom of the range audio, but not very good audio.
Yeah.
But it was just like, it was convenient for us, and we were hopefully creating good content.
Yeah.
So,
you grew the audience. You have grown the audience around that show that you have because of the consistency, I think, because you did it a year, every single week for a year.
Yeah.
And that's what built up the numbers that you've got, I think. Yeah.
But
back to the question.
Back to Justin. My initial thoughts when I read this was, I'd consider getting a digital recorder because you're essentially, I know he doesn't want to get a mixer, and that's totally fine. You know, there's the need for mixers in podcasting, I think, are lessening as the years go on because all these digital tools are coming out. But a digital recorder is such a great thing. I think if anything, they're becoming more coveted because it's like this portable studio that you can take around with you. The Zoom H4, I think, looking on Amazon this morning, and I'll give the price in dollars because our audience is predominantly US, but the, the H4, you're talking between $170 to $200. I think that, you know, the lower end of those are going to be second hand. The H5 is $230 to about $270. So not a huge difference between the two. The H4 is absolutely fine. Like,
do you know though, I think it's worth upgrading to the H5 for a couple of reasons. First of which, the H4N is a great recorder, no worries, but the H5, I think the preamps are a bit better. Like when I plugged my SM58 into the H4, it was that you had to put the gain right up to get away from the background noise.
Yeah.
H5 actually handles it a lot better.
Aye.
But the main thing is, especially for Justin's situation here, the H5 has got this cool little feature where you've got these capsules you can put in the top. So you take off those internal mics, which are plugged into the top of the H5, you take them off and you can put in a bunch of different types of tools. And one of them is essentially a capsule that just has two more XLR inputs.
Mm.
So you've got two XLRs on the bottom of the H5, and then you could have another two XLRs on the top of the H5. So it lets you plug in four really good quality microphones.
Right.
So for Justin here, you've got the H5 sitting in the middle of the table. You've got three XLR cables, three SM58s, or three, you know, ATR2100s or Q2Us. And suddenly you've got really good quality, perfectly, I mean, it's not the cheapest setup in the world, but it's really professional, really good quality setup.
Yeah, and you could just take that with you anywhere. Yeah. Like, you're not tied to one person's house, one person's computer. Like, it's just, you know, let's get together. I've got a small bag, record the podcast.
Yeah.
My solution, which I'd used before, wasn't as good as that.
Okay.
What I was thinking was you've got your two XLR mics running into the ports at the bottom. You've also got a 3.5mm jack.
Of course.
So you could run something like a lav mic in there,
which
will give you that third person recording.
Yeah,
and what I've done before to bring four people in, had my two XLRs running in, and then in the 3.5mm, just the standard sort of headphone jack, I had the Hosatech, the audio stuff, the names always roll off the tongue. Hosatech YMM261.
Yeah.
It's just basically a stereo splitter. They should have just called it that.
Yeah.
And two lav mics plugged into that.
Aye.
And that meant it was recording a stereo track where me and the other guy on the lav mics, you know, it essentially is giving us our own track. Because in Adobe Edition, I just split that.
Yeah.
So yeah, same idea. You end up with four different tracks.
Yeah.
If you're all together, you're going to get bleed from one microphone to the next. That's just the nature of the beast. But you've still got that control. You could adjust volumes. You could clean it all up a bit independently.
Yeah.
And if you're prepared to put the time in, it's going to give you that slightly increased level of audio quality.
Yeah. No, that would work perfectly well, wouldn't it? You can do that with the H4N, couldn't you? Because it's got the bottom. It can take four tracks, can it? So it can do the bottom two and the 3.5.
That's
if you already have an H4N, or you can get one of them secondhand for quite cheap, then that could work. And it would work with H5. You wouldn't have to buy the extra capsule, wouldn't you? So, yeah.
And just having one of these recorders, it's so good. You know, you're on the go because their built-in mics are really good as well. So if you're just, say, at an event or you bump into somebody that's not got much time, you could just grab an interview with the built-in mics. You know, you don't have to plug all your other stuff in.
And they can also be used as a USB interface if you want to. So you can plug it straight in. You've got all the mics into the H5 or the H4N. That's into your computer, and suddenly it's actually directly into Audacity, Audition, whatever.
Yeah.
Or even into Skype. You could record. I mean, you can record if you want somebody remote to come in, that could be an extra input.
I mean, you can record Skype calls with your recorder and everything. It's just that, to me, they're essential when you've been podcasting for a certain amount of time and you're going beyond the one USB microphone setup.
Yeah.
A digital recorder, it's a bit of an investment, but it's so worth it
for
all the time and hassle you're going to save in the long run.
Yeah. The only other thing I was going to mention there was maybe one of the, like a Scarlett interface, for example. Scarlett, there's a 4 one, isn't there?
Yeah, the 18 IA. Again, for, you know, it's a great piece of gear, the Focusrite, but it's limited because it's big and it's tied
stuck to your computer. Desk, isn't it?
And
actually the H5 does basically everything that does, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly.
If you put the capsule in, it can take the four, but you can the four XLR inputs, but you can take it out and about as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah.
Okay. Cool. So yeah, that's what I mean. I think that's what we'd recommend.
And
Justin,
that he's mentioned video podcasts, so take all that audio advice on board. Film your recording and just do three claps, so you could sync the audio up with the video.
Absolutely, yeah, totally. So yeah, I mean that's what we do in the studio. We've actually got the audio going into our DSLR now automatically, so we don't have to sync the audio, but we still do record both. We've got the audio track and the video track. So if you do want to do a video podcast, you can sync them up afterwards. The last thing I would maybe mention is, and it could be an option, maybe not, is the fact that we didn't mention things like Skype recording or anything like that because they're going to be in person. But actually, there's some cases where it's worthwhile, even if you're in the same place, all jumping on a separate computer and recording through something like Zencastr or Zoom.
Yeah.
You know, a call recorder, mm-hmm. just because if you all just have a good USB headset or a good USB mic and you want to make it really simple, that is actually a really simple, quick way to do it.
Yeah.
If you can all record your own track, bring it all together, or use someone like Zencastr so that it does record all your tracks separately and send you the result, then really you're just using the simplest of kit to create pretty decent quality stuff there, eh? And
bring together exactly, three people. Yeah.
Yeah. So it is an option. Could work for you. So I hope that helps, Justin. Right. There's a resource you were going to mention, wasn't there? What was that?
Yeah, I've kind of mentioned it. There's a wee article about recording with multiple USB mics, which mentions things like VoiceMeter and ASIO for All. So I'll put links to that in the show notes for you.
Perfect. Okay. And show notes, you can find them at, as mentioned this already, you can find them at podcraft.net/809, and I'll give you all the links. We'll include as much of the kit as we can remember in the show notes there, so you can go and follow it up. But remember, we've always got our equipment guides. We've got a full equipment section on the podcast host. I mean, it's kind of our bread and butter is talking about kit. So go over to thepodcasthost.com/equipment to see our full range of guides, everything from our kind of best of microphones, best of mixers, through to shootouts for, say, headset mics, and all sorts of reviews of individual bits of kit there too. So pop over there and you can have a look through the whole lot. And the last thing I would say is thank you to everyone that put in the survey over the last few weeks. That's closed now, so we're going to announce the winner of the survey, the competition, which is all about kit. So we're going to hopefully get the results of that out to you quite soon, let you know the state of podcasting setups right now, see what people are using. I can't wait to actually delve into that and see what software, tools, what equipment everybody's using. So we'll get that out to you soon. The other thing I wanted to mention was the Academy. Actually, we haven't talked about it in a wee while. You know that we run the Podcast Host Academy. Matthew and I are in there creating courses, resources, coaching people every couple of weeks. So if all of this stuff, I hope all of this free stuff gives you enough to get started, enough to move on with podcasting. But if you want a bit more in-depth advice, more videos, more structured courses, more tasks, and also our bi-weekly coaching call. So every 2 weeks, you can pop on a call with us for an hour or so, ask us really individual questions, personalized stuff. Then you can do that in the Academy as well. So if you want to check that out, it's our paid subscription, which you can find over at thepodcasthost.com/Academy. Love you to check that out. And of course, you can always get in touch and ask us any questions about that. How do people get in touch these days? We've not mentioned that in a while. Twitter? The Podcast Host on Twitter? It's probably the easiest way, the quickest way. You want them to send you emails?
I hate emails.
No.
What's emails?
Yeah. No, you can get in touch. If you have any questions about the Academy, that's where we work with people. So please don't send us big detailed things on email, because we just will point you towards the Academy. But you can email us at info@thepodcasthost.com, where we'll point you towards resources or the Academy resource. And that would do it. All right, thanks again for another good episode, Matthew.
Thank you, and we'll see you next week.
Indeed, thanks for spending time with us. You hope?
Yeah, well, something might happen. The apocalypse could happen.
True, zombies turn up.
I did see a guy shuffling about Dundee. So
there's a lot of zombie-like people. So barring zombies, we shall see you in 1 week. Talk to you then.